We are continuing this week looking at heroes and heresy. Now, I appreciated what Ivan shared, because you're right, there are a lot of competing ideas out there. But the thing is that there's not actually a lot of new ideas out there. There's a lot of ideas out there that just simply get recycled, and ideas that have come up. And ideas that come up that challenge the truth. And as Ivan shared, you know, we can be grateful. We should be grateful because we have the truth. We have God's word. We have a God that is everlasting and never changes. But there are a lot of bad ideas out there. And a lot of them are very subtle. And so one of the reasons why I wanted to work through this series is because a lot of these bad ideas, you know, they come up in different ways. And a lot of these are things that have been worked through centuries ago, and yet they keep popping up. And it is important that we understand the truth of who God is. And sometimes to really understand the truth, we have to look at the errors. And so there's been many errors or heresies, and just want to give some definitions again. So heresy, when I'm using the word heresy, what I mean is bad ideas about Jesus that undermine the gospel. So this isn't just like, I disagree with this, it makes me uncomfortable. It's ideas that undercut the truth and the power of the gospel. And I used a word last week that my wife reminded me not everybody might know the definition to, because I sometimes use big theological words. And she's like, our kids don't understand that, so there might be other kids that don't understand what that word means. Or grown-ups, because we run in different circles. But another word I want to just put out there is, see, when I say it, this is what I'm talking about, is orthodox. And orthodox is just simply a word that means right thinking about God. The word orthodox just simply means right thinking. But in this context, when we talk about orthodox beliefs, we're talking about right thinking about God. So heresy and orthodoxy are opposites. Okay? Now, we've got these words, and we can use big words, and I've said before, there's Latin and Greek words for a lot of these beliefs, but I find that it's much easier to remember them using characters, using superheroes, okay? Because when we look at these bad ideas about Jesus, these bad ideas about God, a lot of them are embodied in these superheroes that we know from our culture. And so over the past weeks, just to recap where we've gone, we looked at the Superman heresy, which in short is that Jesus was just God in disguise and not really human. Because remember, Superman was an alien. And the reason why he could do superhuman things is because he wasn't human. And so we looked at how that is a wrong idea, because Jesus, though fully God, was also fully man. And so the Superman heresy is that Jesus wasn't really human. And then the week following, we looked at the Batman heresy, which is that Jesus was just an extraordinary man and not God. So the Superman, the Batman heresies are two ends of the spectrum. Either Jesus was all God or Jesus was all human. And I find that these are kind of easier to remember, because we think about Superman as like, right, he was an alien, he wasn't human. Batman has no superpowers, he's just ridiculously rich and has lots of toys. And so both of these are incorrect views of Jesus. And both of them undermine the power of the gospel, as we've looked at those weeks. And then last week we looked at Ant-Man. And the Ant-Man heresy is one that denies the reality of the Trinity. And so the Ant-Man heresy is that God is one, and he just wears different costumes at different times. So sometimes he appears as the Father, sometimes he appears as the Son, sometimes he appears as the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the bad idea. Just make that really clear. All of these are the bad ideas about God. And why it's important to recognize these is that there are always new thoughts or people peddling old thoughts. And when you're hearing these things, if you think this the God that this person's explaining or describing sounds more like Superman than the Jesus that I encounter in the Bible, then they're probably edging down that road of heresy, that idea of that road of the bad idea about God. And so this morning we're gonna continue on and we're gonna be looking at another one of these bad ideas about God. And this one is the Green Lantern. Now, how many of you guys are familiar with the Green Lantern? Okay, we've got, okay, good. Yeah, Charles, I know you know them all. You've probably got all of the comic books, right? Okay. So, the Green Lantern. So, the Green Lantern, for those of you that don't know, this is, the Green Lantern is a little less known in popular culture because he only had one movie and it flopped. But the Green Lantern is, his backstory is he's this guy named Hal Johnson. And like many superheroes, he faces a tragedy as a child when he loses his father in a plane crash. But then he goes on and he becomes a test pilot himself. And he's an extraordinarily good pilot. But one day, what happens is this fellow who's from what's called the Green Lantern Corps crash lands on Earth, and he's dying, and so his ring goes out to find a new ring bearer. Now, we spend a lot of our times pursuing rings, right? And that's kind of what's happening in the Green Lantern is the ring is pursuing him. He gets the ring. He becomes, through a series of events, he becomes a member of the Green Lantern Corps. Now, the Green Lantern Corps is this group of intergalactic police officers, basically, that maintain peace and order in the galaxy, or in the universe. And their power comes from their home planet. It's this green energy, hence the green, and it's willpower, the willpower of the universe, of those in the universe. Now, their ring allows them, they can manipulate the power of their ring to make whatever they can imagine, whatever they can will. And their power comes from the lantern, which they have to recharge. So there's two keys to the story. One, their power comes from the ring. So Hal Johnson has heroic human traits, but without his ring, he is powerless. The second is that the ring chose Hal Johnson because of his character. See, not just anybody can become a member of the Green Lantern Corps. A ring has to choose you, and they choose you based on character. So, you may be wondering, okay, how are we getting to the bad idea about God? Or you may be thinking, I'm already well on my way to bad ideas. But the Green Lantern embodies a very old heresy, a very old bad idea about God. And the term for this is called adoptionism. And so if you're looking for, if you want to read up more on this particular heresy, its theological term is adoptionism. I think Green Lantern heresy is a little bit easier to remember, but in essence, those that taught adoptionism believed that Jesus was not the Son of God because he was divine, because he was God, but rather he was an extraordinary man. So very much like the Batman heresy, that Jesus was an extraordinary man. However, God adopted him. And because of God's adoption of him, he was able to wield and manipulate the Spirit of God. But he was still just a man. And in this belief structure, this Holy Spirit essentially became like the power of the Green Lantern's ring. that because of Jesus' character and strength, he could manipulate the Spirit, and he did all that he did through the Spirit, but he wasn't God. And really, at its heart, this idea denies the Trinity, denies that there is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that it is that God looks very much like the Green Lantern Corps. That's adoptionism in a nutshell. And what they believe is that when Jesus was baptized, and we looked at this last week when we were looking at the Trinity, that when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened up, the Spirit descended like a dove, and God the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And we see the three members of the Trinity all present at the same time at Jesus' baptism. But adoptionism looks at it and says, no, that is when Jesus the man was adopted by God and given the power of the Spirit. So, this is not a correct way of viewing who Jesus is, because it denies his divinity and it denies the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Denies the Trinity. So this idea has been around for a long time. We first see evidence of this belief right back in the early times of the New Testament church. And the seeds of this idea are laid in those who taught that God is one, but he can't be three. And that the Spirit of God was just a force that worked through those who followed him. And this is something that that got fleshed out, and it was within the second century where the idea got prominence with this fella whose name was Paul of Samosata. And he held these beliefs that Jesus was simply a man adopted by God, that the Holy Spirit was just a power that flowed through him. And he ended up being kicked out of the church. He was a leader in the church. But not only did he teach these beliefs, but he also, and this is a red flag for anyone when they're teaching something that then begins to elevate themselves. Because not only did he teach that the Holy Spirit was a power to be wielded, but he went so far as he put a throne for himself at the front of the church, and he started changing all the worship songs. He replaced Jesus with his name. So it was just, you know, red flag upon red flag. And so he was kicked out of the church, and it was thought that his teachings would not come up again. But unfortunately, about 500 years ago, time of the Renaissance, we have another fella. His name was Socinus. And he began teaching that Jesus also was just a man. See, he was influenced by Enlightenment ideas, and he began teaching that Jesus could not be fully God and fully man because it was impossible. It was a way of thinking it was just simply not possible. And so he picked up on this idea that Jesus was simply a man adopted by God. He went on to teach that Jesus died on the cross, but his death wasn't for our sins. That it was simply to show that God took sin seriously and that the cost of following God could be ultimate. The way he got there is by putting priority on the individual's ability to reason. You see, he believed that human reason should override tradition, and that there was not divine inspiration. He rejected all other teachings because he believed that anyone else's teachings would corrupt his way of thinking. He went on to believe to teach that as believers we should reject any interpretation which is in opposition to rational reason. Okay, so this is where he ended up saying, as an individual, as an enlightened individual, I can figure everything out and I don't need anyone else. Now, this view not only skewed his understanding of Jesus and the work of the cross, but also the Holy Spirit. Like I said before, this view of the Holy Spirit is very much like the Green Lantern in being a power that can be wielded and manipulated. This denial that the Holy Spirit is a full part of the Godhead, of the Trinity, is where one of the places where he went off the rails. Now, there are certainly some strong similarities between this and the Batman heresy of that Jesus was just an extraordinary man. The difference being here that the Holy Spirit was a power to be wielded, and that because Jesus was adopted by God, he had power. Now, again, these teachings were pushed back. The church understood that this guy was off the rails. And yet, the beliefs continued to persist in places. In time, the followers of Socinus actually came to America and founded what is today known as the Unitarian Church. So, these are beliefs that are certainly alive and well today. So, I missed my Green Lantern pictures. So this is the idea that Jesus was adopted by God. Now, these are all ideas that are not orthodox. These are ideas that are not true. And yet, like I said, the ideas continue to persist. So, what does the Bible say? Because this is where we need to go. We dismantle bad ideas by going back to the truth. And just in the few minutes that we have here this morning, I just want to look at this well-known but key passage we find in Philippians. See, the Apostle Paul tells us, he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And I just want to dwell on these verses for a few minutes. Now, these verses in Philippians and the couple verses that follow complete the passage, but this is this appears to be an ancient hymn, an ancient worship song that was sung in the church that succinctly summarized the work of Jesus and what he did. Tells us that Jesus, being very nature God, depending on your translation, it may say form or even essence, and it's kind of all the same idea that Jesus and God are exactly the same essence, the same substance, the same form, the same nature. This is something that was hashed out very early on in the history of the church, that Jesus was fully God. If we look at John 1:1, a well-known verse says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Any belief that Jesus is not fully God and has not existed forever with God does not line up with Scripture. Jesus is fully God, fully eternal. Paul tells us here that Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider God equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Or your translation may say equality with God something to be grasped. You see, Jesus was fully God, and being fully God comes with some advantages. There are some distinct advantages to being God over being human. I don't know, I'm sure we've all thought of that. You know, we have all thought at some point what we would do if we were all-powerful beings. Most of it probably would not end well. But Jesus is and was, always has been, fully God. But here we're told that he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. And this is something that has been thought through and discerned for centuries. What does this mean? That Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. My theology prof, when I was in seminary, used the illustration of the three-legged race. So that Jesus did not lose any of his divine ability. He did not become anything less than God, but he took on humanity. And that was like running a three-legged race. You see, you can take someone, I don't know, are any of you runners? Like, can any of you run more than, like, to the end of the street without being winded? I don't know, some of you? Okay, there you go. So, I'll be honest, I can't. I am not a marathon runner. I am not a sprinter. I'm not in the ideal shape. But imagine if we took someone who was. And I've known some incredible athletes in my life. And athletes who are incredibly more skilled than I. But if we took someone who is a sprinter, and they can do a 100-mile dash in anything less than 60 seconds that it takes me, and you put them in a three-legged race with me, taking on my presence is going to significantly diminish the athletic ability of any athlete. And this is the illustration that, like all illustrations, it's not perfect. But I think the essence of it gets to the truth. That Jesus was fully divine, but he chose to take on the nature of humanity as well. His divinity was in no way taken away. But by choosing to take on the nature of humanity, he chose to limit himself. Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. See, Jesus always has been and always will be fully God. And any teaching that denies that Jesus is fully God and always has been fully God is simply not correct. Any teaching that denies that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are fully one God and yet three distinct persons is not correct. Does not line up with what Scripture has revealed. And yet this is the heart of so many of these bad ideas about God, of these heresies, is that they deny or diminish who Jesus was, fully God, fully man. They deny or they diminish that God is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so if you ever come across teaching that, as I said before, that seems to portray God more like a superhero than the God of the Bible should raise red flags. Any teaching that denies the work of the cross, that it paid for our sins, should raise red flags as well. But one thing I just want to just highlight here is how some of these people have got, those who came up with these bad ideas got to this point. As I said, Socinus, 500 years ago, but the way that he got to his heresy is alive and well today. As I said, he put his own personal ability to reason above tradition, above community, above the Word of God. And this is something that is increasingly common today. We live in a culture that values individualism. And Socinus was in the Enlightenment where this idea of individualism was starting to bloom. And oftentimes, it's very easy for us to fall into that same trap, that nobody can figure it out like we can. That our ability to reason is greater than all that have come before us, and is greater than those that God has placed around us. I'm not saying that individual thinking and reasoning is bad, because God has given us minds, and we need to engage in thinking. We need to engage in discernment. But we have to recognize that we stand in the end of a long line of believers. And that we cannot simply formulate our ideas and beliefs in an echo chamber by ourselves. J.I. Packer, who's a great theologian, said, "Tradition is not infallible, but neither is it negligible, and we impoverish ourselves if we disregard it." See, we must continue to evaluate what we believe and whether it lines up with Scripture. But we also do that in community. We need to be thinking. We need to be evaluating. As the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he tells us, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." See, we are to think and to evaluate what we do, what we believe. But there's also 2,000 years of church history. There's 2,000 years of people coming up with their own really bad ideas. And oftentimes they just start with just a seed of error. There have been many, many these bad ideas about God. But one of the things that I found so incredible walking through this as I've been preparing this series is that a lot of these ideas were hashed through and dealt with like literally 1900 years ago. As Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. And we must continually go to Scripture because that is where we find truth. But as I said, it's also important to know some of the errors that people have gone down, because we want to be aware of the roads that we shouldn't follow. And so if you have in your mind a Jesus that at times, like I said, looks more like a Superman or a Batman or an Ant-Man or a Green Lantern, or as in the weeks ahead, we're going to be looking at Jesus that looks like Thor or the Hulk or Spider-Man. Okay, all of these are ideas that have been around a long time, but they don't line up with the God of the Bible. Jesus knew that we would be quick to forget. And that's why he told us to remember. One of the things that Jesus told us to remember and to constantly remember is the work of the cross. And we do that at the communion table. See, when we come to the communion table, we remember that Jesus did die on the cross. We remember that Jesus did die for our sins. And we know that the only reason that Jesus could die for our sins is because he was fully God and fully man. That he was the only one in all of history who was able to pay the penalty for our sins. And that is the heart of the gospel. And anything that diminishes that just simply leads us to error and removes the power and the truth of the gospel. And so this morning we're going to come to the table and we're going to remember that we serve a Jesus who was fully God, fully man, died for our sins, and that there is no other way that we can be saved but through that work on the cross. There is no superhero. There is no man, no matter how good, that can save us. It is only the work of Christ done on the cross, that he died and he rose again, that we can be saved. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for who you are. I thank you that you are an incredible God, the only God. That in incredible mystery, you have existed for all eternity. That you are one God, and yet you are three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that though we have sinned and we have fallen, that you did not leave us in our sinful state, but that Jesus came fully God, fully man, to live among us, to teach us, to reveal the kingdom of God to us, to die on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, to rise again, the firstborn, new creation, that he ascended to heaven, that the Holy Spirit came as promised to indwell every believer, to guide and direct us. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are and for what you have done. And Father, now as we come, as we remember the work of the cross, I pray, Father, that you would help us to remember the infinite price that was paid for us. The price that could only be paid by Christ, our Savior. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.